I know my mic's not on, but it's on. He'll figure it out. There he goes. We just go forward as if. So yeah, stand up and just shake out your body a little bit and feel the energy of the day. I know it's summertime, it gets hot, and sometimes you want to be a little lethargic, and then bring your hands to your heart center. And then lift them up in the air. And then as you exhale, bring them down through your heart center. And then lift them up again. Inhaling, reaching up and bringing down all that good stuff into your heart. And then one more time. Inhale and lift it up. And then exhale right into your heart center. And then close your eyes and just rest your thumbs on your sternum and feel the presence of love in you. Feel your beautiful heart beating. And feel the gift of life in you. All right, and then take a seat, please. And so just get yourself into a comfortable meditation position. Most of you guys know. If you don't, just try to sit some way that's open, you know, knees above the ankles, feet are flat. If the palms are open, the heart is open, gesture of receiving, and just let yourself relax. You can bring your eyes closed if you like, and you can leave them open if you like. And just start to relax inside of yourself a little bit. Start to connect with your breath. And really get interested in the breath as it enters through your nose and exits through your nose. Breathing in life and breathing out gratitude. Feel yourself softening in your seat just a little bit more now. Connecting deeply to Mother Earth and feeling that energy of life run up through your feet, through your spine, and all around you. And so if you've got something going on today, something that you're worried about, go ahead and bring that in right now and acknowledge it. And as you continue to notice what that is, you can turn it into a child. A child that needs something. It's asking for something from you. And this child might be a little bit worried about what's outside the gate, about what might happen. Instead of saying anything, just wrap this child in your arms. And just holding it. Until it dissolves into you. And as you go deeper into this unconditional love, notice that it wants to move now. But it's become very, very tiny, tiny and whole. And go ahead and let that expand all around you until you turn into pure love. And let yourself wander a little bit out into the sunshine, out and around. You can cover a lot of ground now without much effort at all. And as you go, you see a tree there blowing in the wind, and so you decide to go through it like the wind, and you do. You feel that beautiful love between you and that one tree. And as you keep going, you realize you have tremendous ability to travel very far with no effort at all now. And so you come to the top of a beautiful mountain. And as you stand looking over a peak, you notice way down below the ocean. And you want to jump, and you want to dive into the water, but you're afraid. So you do it anyway. You jump off that cliff. And as you're just about to hit the water, suddenly you grow wings, and now you're flying over the surface of the water very fast, with no effort at all. And pretty soon you've traveled the entire globe, flying around and around. And so you decide you want to dive to the bottom of the ocean, so you do. No temperature, no nothing, just pure presence. And in the bottom, it gets very, very dark. But you know that everything is all right, and even more than that. So now it's time to go into space as you launch from the very bottom of the deepest ocean through the sky and out into space. And from here now you can see all of the planets in their perfect orbit, the beautiful Mother Earth. And then bring yourself back to that place of pure, unconditional love in you. And then gently sliding right back into your heart space. Feeling your beating human heart and the presence of life in you once again. Let's begin with prayer. Hands to heart center if you like to do it that way. I am now in the presence of pure being, immersed in the Holy Spirit of life and love and wisdom. I acknowledge your presence and your power, O Blessed Spirit. In your divine wisdom, now erase my mortal limitations. And from your pure substance of love, bring into manifestation my world according to your perfect law. And then please repeat after me. In our unity of purpose, we are guided by divine wisdom and prospered by divine love. I am open and receptive to the living spirit of truth in me. And so it is. Thank you. So nice to be here. And just, you know, if you guys, if you never stood up here to feel the love in this room, it's so just, it just moves me. So I'm really feeling that today. And I thank you. Sometimes I think there's a little portal underneath somebody's seat because all of a sudden there's just twice as many people as there was. And it's like you guys come from under the floor and you're just here. And it, you know, it just, it so takes each one of us to bring this presence today. And I want to acknowledge that in the space. So thank you for being here. And at Unity, we always honor the many paths to God and the many names for God. So whatever gets said today, you know, please take what you will and leave the rest. You can insert your own understanding. You know, I just want to come up and share today. You know, it's such a weird thing to be up here and to want to share these things with you that I found in my own life and in my journey. And so you guys know I've spoken here enough to where you know that I get pretty raw sometimes about my life's path. And I thought about why do I do that? Because I always feel compelled to tell you stories of my life and what happened and how I came to be here in this moment now, not just at this podium, but in my life and what's happening. And I realized that all of the people that have greatly inspired me, and there's many, and I'm going to talk about a couple of those people today, that they've had a journey, a soul's journey, that they've dared something worthy in their lives. And they've given a sort of a gift to help me to see my own self and what my soul's journey is. And it's always different from theirs. But it's almost as if when we show up for ourselves in that real way, then we give other people permission to do the same thing for themselves. And it's just, it's a heck of a thing. And so in our unity of purpose, we are guided by divine wisdom and prospered by divine love. And so my greatest wish is that through my story and through the stories that I share with you today, that you get to find your story, you know, and that maybe it can be of help to you in some way in your life. So, you know, the one thing I heard that I think it was a Buddhist teaching that came to me, And it goes, there's three great mysteries in the world. To a bird, it's the air. To a fish, it's water. And to man, it's his mind. And when I heard that, I was like, whoa, let me think about that for a long time. You know, and it, you know, for those of us that really go deeply into meditations and go into developing our minds, you know, and that's a huge thing at Unity, that law of mind action, that what we think about all day long becomes our reality. And so, you know, we know that that's true. And sometimes we take a look at our lives and we have things in our life that we don't want. How did that get there? You know, and so it can be kind of a weird thing to realize that the biggest thing in my life is the way that I think about the world. And sometimes what I've learned on my path is that the greatest things that I've learned that were blocking me, I didn't know were there until I accepted help from somebody else to show me. And in that, then I had to look inside of myself and find it. And it's kind of how our church was founded, you know. And so studying a lot of Unity stuff lately, and you guys have all heard of the five Unity principles, and we talk about those all the time. And Al Bourne, that used to come here, he was working up here for a few months, he sent me this book, The Five Principles, and I just recently opened it, just a beautiful gift, and it kind of breaks open the five Unity principles. And I've learned that the Unity principles, actually in their condensed form, what we use here, came from Connie Fillmore Bazzi, who is Charles Fillmore's great-granddaughter. And when she went to ministerial school, she wanted to bring them down to kind of a condensed form and understand the five basic principles. And so she actually gave us these principles. And so I want to talk a little bit about the first one today. And the first Unity principle is that God is absolute good, everywhere present. And that's something that when I, you know, for myself, when I first started in recovery, because I was a bad alcoholic and drug addict, and I started in recovery, and they talked about a loving God, and I never considered anything about a God, but when I started to act as if there was a loving God, I found out that there indeed was one, and that's to me what a God of infinite good is, that always God wants me to have the best life I can possibly have. And like my friend Bill says, you know, God would not put a dream in your heart without also giving you everything you need to achieve it. You know, and sometimes we think, there's no way I can do that. There's no way I can get up in front of people and speak what's really on my heart. That would be terrible. And here I am. And I've thought that too, and I felt that way. But when I started to realize that God is absolute good, everywhere present, immanent and transcendent, in us, through us, as us, then I all of a sudden I get this realization that there's nothing that I have to worry about. That's kind of what the meditation was about, that everything that I need in the moment will come. And I've seen people have massive life transformations, not just people who are addicted to substances, but all over across the board. Myrtle Fillmore, it happened to her. She was sick, and all of a sudden she wasn't, because she made that decision in the moment like we talked about last time. So, the first time for me, what happened was when I was at a treatment center and my life was just completely wrecked, I thought, when in fact it was a beautiful opportunity, and the counselor handed me a journal. And I'd never written one word in my life, nor did I want to. Yet when I started to write, the pen wouldn't stop. Like many writers, that's what happens. We just start writing, and all of a sudden we find this thing inside of us that wants to talk. Let's talk, Kevin. And so what happened was, I don't know where it came from, but I took the practice of just writing what crossed my mind. Because I'd never slowed down enough to take a look at my thoughts. I just thought my thoughts, and I acted on them, and that was it. I reacted everywhere in life. And so I started to write these things in my journal, and I just wrote what came through, and oh my God, when I reread it, who is this madman? I was insane in my mind, and I'd never taken 5 seconds to slow down and take a look at myself. And so it was horrid and ugly, but I was surrounded by the presence of God at this treatment center. It was everywhere, and it was in the people, and it was in everything all around. The lawns were beautifully manicured. It was summer. There was eagles everywhere, and I was feeling this openness inside of me. What I didn't know is that I had opened up inside of me first before I could see any of it out there. It was cracked open through desperation. And then later on, someone told me, 2 years into hearing the gift of desperation mentioned, I found out that the gift of desperation's acronym is G-O-D. Awesome. I was like, how cool is that? I started to realize that in that gift of desperation, when we're willing to let go of how we think about the world, we suddenly can find the presence of God in that moment. And that actually happened. And so everything started to reflect that finding of God inside of me. And so as I'm journaling all these sick and twisted thoughts, really is what it was. And the handwriting was frantic and scribbled. And then they said, write something positive. And I said, what? Never thought about doing that. So I wrote something positive and it felt really good. And so that's the relationship that happened through the journaling thing, was that I started to realize that I could change the way I thought about the world. And when I did that, the world changed. It was amazing. And I started to find something inside of me that wanted to be recognized and expressed. And so it came through the people. That's what I love about coming to church, is don't we have this connection that we share. And the social hour is getting funner, and the meetings after the meetings are getting funner, and we can't get enough good stuff from each other. So our community is growing in a good way, and I believe it's because of real unconditional divine love, that we just look for the best in each other. And so I began to learn that you could trust divine synchronicity, and that divine synchronicity was actually everywhere. And you guys know that I wrote a book, and it's not a pretty book in many respects. A lot of people try to read it, and they can't, because it's got a lot of very ugly stuff in it. And it's my story. I lived as that person, you know. And when I look, it's been a couple of years since I've written that book, and it took 4 years to write it. So it's really been a work for about 6 years now. And when I look back, it's really a story of just divine synchronicity, of all the synchronicities that lined up to help me. And isn't it true that when in our life, when we look back and we go, the whole way I was taken care of, isn't that amazing? And then we say, but the future, I don't know what's going to happen. I better start controlling things, you know. But if I go, wait a minute, I can trust divine synchronicity, which means when I show up, the miracle will happen. When I show up, the gift will be there. My friend Duke used to talk about it. You remember the little signpost that has a hand that just points? And you show up and it goes that way? Oh, okay. And you just walk over there and it goes, oh, that way. And the next thing you know, you get this beautiful life following the signpost of life. And that's the Holy Spirit guiding me. That's how I feel about it, that we're always guided. And so, and I want to talk about something that's really cool that happened, how I came to Unity. Was I was in I graduated that drug treatment program, and I came here and I had to do another one here in Everett. And so in the second part of that program, I met this counselor that was going to change my life. And he was such a nice man. From the moment I saw him, I loved him. He's just kind and generous. And we went into his office. We're going to have a one-on-one. And he said, tell me about Kevin. And then he opened up to listen. And I said, whoa. So I told him all the stuff that I wanted to do, all the dreams in my heart, I told him. And his eyes lit up, and he got all fired up. And he goes, have you ever heard of The Secret? And I said, no, is it a secret? And he said, yes, and more than that. I'll still remember that day. He goes, it's a movie. He goes, get it and watch it over and over until you get it. And I said, okay. And so I did that. And The Secret was awesome, and it changed my life. And then we had another one-on-one, me and this guy. And I was telling him, The Secret's changed my life. I said, I'm attracting abundance into my life. And I was so excited about it. And then I told him, I said, and I'm going to find a church to go to. And he said, well, have you ever heard of Unity Church? And I said, no. And he goes, well, Wednesday night we do this little get-together, and we'd like to have you come. And so I said, okay. And so that's the first time I ever walked in here in this church. It was probably 2007. And I walked in, and he was up here talking with his wife, and he had a guitar, and he was playing, and he was reading from a book from a guy named Phineas Quimby. You guys know who Phineas Quimby is? Probably the grandfather of the entire New Thought movement. He's a very interesting fellow. His name's Phineas Parkhurst Quimby. And if you look at a picture of him, he's very intense. And so anyway, and I didn't know what it was, but I knew that what he was talking about, something in my heart wanted to know more about it, because it was going to show me a life beyond my wildest dreams. And so then I started to come to Sunday service, and Bob started leading those meditations where we go down into our heart, and I could feel divine love, and I could feel the love of this space. And the guy that was the counselor was Lenny Baugh. And a lot of you guys know Lenny, and since that time I've learned that Lenny was a huge part of this church. And I, in fact, was talking to Bob Egan this morning before I came here, and guess what he brought up? Lenny. That's divine synchronicity. You're on the right path, you know. There's a path for you, and if you can listen deeper than the screaming monkeys, you get to see your path. And it's what I've learned about that path is that it's not usually where you think you should go. And when we step out into the unknown and we step through our fear, the miracle happens because we're living in that divine prosperity. So that what happened, and I realized this, is divine ideas are like fish. They're just waiting to be caught. Remember when Peter was fishing in the Bible story, and Peter was fishing and he couldn't catch any fish, and Jesus came and he did some Tai Chi on him, and Peter starts, get all these fish. He activated his Christ consciousness, his ability to see that there's a world beyond my little tiny world that I live in. You know, don't we sometimes feel like we're suffocating in our little world? And it's like, help, I need help. And they say, okay, do this. They go, no, that'll never work. But it's the world's trying to help you. It's like Bill tells a story about, he said, you know, you fall and you grab a hold of the edge of the cliff and you're hanging there and you're going to certainly fall to your death, you know, so you scream for help. Somebody please help me. Somebody help me. And this voice goes, I'll help you. And you go, well, who is it? He goes, it's me, God. He goes, okay, what do I do? He says, let go and trust. He goes, can anybody else help me? Last thing I'm going to do is let go and trust, because I already know. And I already know is what's keeping me stuck. I don't know is what sets me free. So that brings me to one of my favorite things, and you guys may have heard this before, I don't know. If one advances confidently in the direction of his dreams and endeavors to live the life which he has imagined, he will meet with a success unparalleled in common hours. Unexpected in common hours is what the word is. I like unparalleled, because I have experienced that when I move confidently in the direction of my dreams and trust God, miracles happen. And it allows me to be able to speak to you today. Because of my own, who I was, the person in the book that I was able to write, is not who I am today. And I don't know how it happened except that I trusted. And so that brings me right back to our first unity principle. God is absolute good, everywhere present all the time. And there's another, I'll tell you one more story, and then I promise to quit talking about myself, and I'll tell you about some other people. When I became a yoga teacher, I wanted to become a yoga teacher, and in my early sobriety, I had found the practice of yoga, and I loved it, man. It was physical, and it was mental, and it was focused, and it was all this stuff, but it was spiritual more than anything, and I wanted to know my spirit, and so I started to practice, and it was at 24-Hour Fitness up in Linwood, and I was just there. Every time I could be, I was there, and finally, this gal comes up to me, and she goes, man, you love yoga. And I said, I love yoga. And she goes, have you met Vidal? And I said, no. And she said, you've got to meet Vidal. And I'm like, so I go and meet Vidal. You know, it's the signpost. And there's this charming man who owns Lakeview Yoga down in Kenmore. And just started practicing at his studio. And we just became fast friends. And I just loved what he was teaching. He was teaching me how to go inside and how to be present in the most difficult postures, which is code for life. How to be present in the most difficult situations, and how will you handle it? How will you respond? And so it was so fun, and I was getting pretty proficient at practicing yoga. I was very dedicated, and then I went on a trip to Hawaii and was going to consider living there, so we'd rented this house for 6 weeks. And so the first thing I did is I found a little studio to practice at, Yoga Shala, House of Yoga, and I met this delightful woman named Nadia, and she was this heart-centered being. She taught Aloha Namaste Yoga. Aloha Namaste, two of the most powerful things on the planet. And that's what she called it. And she had this very soft voice. And this the gal that I was with at the time, she said, well, Kevin wants to become a yoga teacher. And I'm like, no. And she said, oh, well, we have a teacher training starting in 1 week. And I'm like, uh-oh. The house we'd rented was, you know, 3 miles away. And I had the space to do it. It was right smack in the middle of our vacation. And so I said, oh, and I went home and I thought about it. And I thought, there's no way I can do it. I have 500 reasons why I can't do it. And I knew that every one of them was very valid. This is why I can't. I've got to do this, and I've got these plans, and this is my things that I'm doing, and blah, 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 blah. But my heart said, you have to do it. And so I said, okay. And so I said, I'll do the teacher training. And it was the funnest time I ever had. 4 weeks of being immersed in the teachings of the ancient art of and science of yoga in the sugarcane fields on Maui. And I got to do a teacher training, and it was so beautiful. Then I came back and went back to the studio. I said, Vidal, I did a teacher training. And he said, he said, oh, that's great. And so I didn't think anything would ever come of it, honestly. I thought it was just a great experience, and that's awesome. It helped my practice so much. About 2 weeks later, Vidal calls, Kevin, you want to teach the Wednesday noon class? And you know what I said immediately? Nope. Nope. It shot out of my mouth before I could even think, because I was afraid. I was afraid to be in front of people and teach yoga. I can't do that. All these teachers that I've seen, how wonderful they are, I can never be that. And so he said, well, he said, think about it. He said, take a week, and if you don't want it, then I'll give it to somebody else. But you've got a week. That was agonizing, a whole week. And that very night, I knew what the answer had to be, you know. And so I called him back. I said, I'll do it. And I thought, it's going to be a train wreck. And sure enough, it was. Those first few classes was a train wreck. I mean, I didn't know how do I instruct the stuff I've been practicing, but how do I share it? I don't consider myself a yoga teacher. I consider myself a sharer. That's what share with you. I just want to share the good stuff that I found in the world. And that's how it is with yoga. I want to share it because I love it. And that's what Nadia taught. She said, don't worry ever when you're teaching. She said, teach what you love. And if you teach what you love, you'll always be okay. And so that's what I do. So anyway, that's my yoga story. And there's way more, of course, but I'm going to leave it there. So, you know, and that stuff that happened, I learned there's this, you guys know the Tao, the Chinese Tao, De Ching, and that great way of life, they call it. There's this line that I'll never forget in the beginning of it, the very first verse. Because when I want to take something selfishly for me, I always mess it up. I always try to control it or squeeze the head off it or pluck it or whatever it is. I just wreck it, you know. And so I read this thing in the Tao, and it just sung to my heart. And it said that ever desiring, one sees only the manifestations. Ever desireless, one can see the mystery. And the mystery itself is the doorway to all understanding. That when I want to give to the world from that place of teaching what I love, of sharing what I love, that I get to just give and give and give. And that's the mystery of life, that we get to experience divine love between us. You know, and so I want to talk about another fellow now. Has anybody ever heard of Alexander Everett? Awesome. Alexander Everett was born in 1921 in England. And when he was a young boy, his mother got the Daily Word, the Unity Daily Word. And he had contracted polio at a young age, or I'm sorry, it wasn't polio, it was asthma at a young age. And his mother used affirmations and healed him of asthma. And then the Great Depression came. And then she used Unity affirmations to get through the Great Depression, to have enough to eat all the time. So he was, you know, he was exposed to that stuff pretty early on. And you guys know about denials and affirmations, right? I'll tell you a real simple one. It's Myrtle Fillmore's. I'm a child of God, and therefore I cannot inherit sickness. I cannot inherit sickness is a denial. And I'm a child of God is just an affirmation. It's just that simple. So what happened is he started to read, and he was reading Charles Fillmore a lot. And the one thing that fascinated Alexander Everett was that Charles Fillmore talked about the oneness of all religions, the commonality in all religions, the oneness, the stuff that we all love. And that makes us feel like we're right where we're supposed to be. And so he was really fired up, and he had a really promising career as a teacher. And right when he was 29 years old, then he contracted polio. And the doctor said, you're never going to be able to walk again. And so he said, oh yeah, I will walk again. And so he started to say the prayer of faith. And do you guys know the prayer of faith? I'll share it with you in a little bit. He said it every day, several times a day for 1 month, and he regained the use of his legs, and he was never sick again. And the doctors called it a medical miracle that he was able to heal himself with that. So he got really excited about that, and he went to Unity to become a Unity minister, and he was getting taught at Unity Village to become a minister. And he also became a prayer worker and a letter writer for Silent Unity. And so he was just immersed in the stuff that he'd loved his whole life. But something happened along the way, and he realized, this is not my path. You know, sometimes no is the bigger yes. You know, we say yes to things, and there comes a point where sometimes we say, that's not for me. And that discernment comes from that spiritual wisdom that we gain when we start living in the presence of God. So anyway, he said, this isn't for me. And he got with the heads of the Unity School, and they decided, yeah, you're right, it's not for you. You need to express yourself in a different path. And so he got hired at a school, and he started to be a teacher again, but they asked him to do meditation classes. And so he started these meditation classes that got very popular very fast. And what do you think he taught? He taught to go into the silence and to use affirmations and to be in the presence. And what he did was he started to develop the mind this way. He called it think right, feel right, and act right. And then so they got very popular. He named it Mind Dynamics. Does anybody remember Mind Dynamics? Yeah, a few of you. It was kind of popular in the 60s and 70s, I think. Well, anyway, he began showing other facilitators because it got really super busy really fast. And it started growing. And all of a sudden he realized it leaned too much on the mind. That it was they were using too much mind stuff and getting too heady about it. And so he let these other guys run with it. And these other guys were like Werner Erhard, who founded EST, which is now the Landmark Forum. And a lot of those personal development groups that you hear about was founded through this. And they're all over the place. And people are doing them, and it's changing their lives, and it all stemmed from Alexander Everett. But what he did was he said, I want to teach something that goes inside. So he developed a new teaching called Inward Bound. Taught how to go into the heart, into the human heart, into the what he called the spiritual state of human consciousness. You see, in those three phases of mind, we've got the conscious mind, the subconscious mind, and then the superconscious mind. When we enter into that heart space, we enter into the superconscious mind, where divine ideas are coming down like fish, where we get to access that life that is beyond our wildest dreams. And I want to say, too, it doesn't matter if you're 10 years old or 100 years old. At any time that you choose, you can access this stuff, because don't we forget every day? Remember what Paul said, I die every day. Every day I must wake up and choose in which consciousness I'm going to live my life. And so once we embark into the unknown, the world opens up to reveal those once hidden secrets that we could never see. You know, and Jesus was our greatest teacher of that. He taught us how to rise above in that Christ consciousness. And you know, the Father and I are one. And all the things that I do, you can do and more. So I want to end today with that prayer of faith. It's by a gal named Hannah Moore Kohas. And I actually have a recording of Myrtle saying this prayer. And I'll bring that and share it with you another time. But you guys want to do this prayer with me? Okay. So just repeat after me. God is my help in every need. God does my every hunger feed. God walks beside me, guides my way. Through every moment of the day. I now am wise, I now am true. Patient, kind, and loving too. All things I am can do and be. Through Christ, the truth that is in me. God is my health, I can't be sick. God is my strength, unfailing, quick. God is my all, I know no fear. Since God and love and truth are here. Amen.